This podcast may contain adult language and situations, graphic, gory details, and other not so nice things. Listener discretion is advised. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lacey, and this is United States of Murder. This week, we're in South Dakota discussing how a quiet creek became a river of death.
Then we'll talk about a fortified dugout. So buckle up and join us on this dark and twisted ride through the Mount Rushmore State.
Native American and Alaskan Native populations have disproportionately high rates of homicide and suicide. Native Americans, whether male or female, are victims of violent crime at more than twice the rate of all U.S. residents. Nearly a third of Native Americans are victimized between the ages of 18 and 24, and Native Americans in this age experience the highest per capita rate of violent crime of any age or racial group in the U.S. And at least 70% of violence experienced by Native Americans was committed by someone of another race. So we've talked about cases involving Indigenous women in the past, and about how their cases often slip through the cracks and tend to go unsolved. On a number of Native American reservations, Native women are murdered at a rate representing 10 times the national average, which is unbelievable. But today, I will be talking about Native men. I saw an article about this in Only in Your State. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that site? I love that site. Then HM from South Dakota on Instagram DM'd us some case suggestions, and this was one of them. So I'm like, okay, I've kind of read a little bit about this, so I'm going to dive into it. It probably won't be super long because there's not a whole lot of details we know, but you'll understand when I start talking about it.
We don't hear a lot about male.
Yeah, you don't.
Crimes.
Yeah, that's true. Native American especially. Well, Rapid City lies 2 hours northwest of Pine Ridge Reservation, so it's home of the legendary tribe of Crazy Horse.
Oh.
And the 1973 standoff between AIM members and federal agents at Wounded Knee. Pine Ridge is also home to a desperation and squalor known in few other parts of the United States. Unemployment runs to 84%.
Are there just no jobs? No job opportunities? Or
I didn't get into the why exactly, but the annual per capita income is $3,121.
What?
Uh-huh. And the county Shannon is the poorest in the entire nation.
Oh my gosh.
The life expectancy for a man is 48. And for a woman, 52.
The life expectancy?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem like that's possible.
I know. I don't know how people live off that much money. $3,000 a year? There's a lot of homelessness and that kind of thing.
Is this a big area? I'm just trying to wrap my head around
I know.
If this is just like some teeny tiny small town like they have here in Arkansas. You know, there's not going to be a lot of jobs. There's not, you know, opportunities. There's not going to be a lot of – most people make that around or close to that every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And to think you have children that you're – I mean, I have one kid and I know what it takes to raise him and feed him and clothe him and activities and school and all that. There's no way. Well, I don't know a whole lot about reservations other than their laws are much different and they govern themselves.
Yeah, that is true.
Away from the U.S. government.
So 2010 census counted 18,834 individuals living on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And the vast majority, 16,906, identified as American Indian.
It's not like the population 700.
Right. It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. Yeah.
It's the poorest reservation in the U.S.
I guess I'm just super naive, and I think that reservation life is good.
So, I mean, I do not know.
I don't know anything about it.
So
I hope that wasn't an ignorant statement.
No, I don't know anything about like actual reservation life or anything, but there's a show that Samuel and I watched called, oh God, what's it called?
If you say Yellowstone.
Not Yellowstone, but that does have some stuff in there that I've Googled to see if it was true, and it was Reservation Dogs. It's about teenagers living on reservation or a reservation and kind of life like that. And I don't want to speak for everyone's experience, but it kind of seems like they fall on hard times a lot. There's a lot of alcoholism. There's poverty just in general. And again, I don't really know.
Well, and it's like, what else are you going to do? You're going to hang out with your friends and have a drink. I mean.
Yeah. So. But from 1998 to the year 2000, there were 11 unexplained deaths in or around Rapid Creek. It's like a specific creek. All of the bodies found were men, and almost all of them were Native Americans, which is too many bodies in such a short amount of time for it to be a string of coincidences. The murders only stopped after the community set up a group of natives to patrol Rapid Creek every single night. The Rapid City Police Department allegedly gave up on trying to solve those murders years ago. In 1998, Benjamin Long Wolf slept through his own drowning. The autopsy revealed that he was very intoxicated, so was likely already passed out at the time. When he was discovered by the police, he was sitting half upright, and they thought he was like leaned over napping until they realized he was underwater. He was 36 years old and was homeless, and he was living in the hollow beneath the 6th Street Bridge. The police thought that the water rose while he was passed out, and he just was too drunk, passed out to notice, and drowned in his sleep. And they thought this was open and shut. Like, he might not have even been murdered.
Right.
Who knows? And this was the first death. So at this point, they're thinking, it's probably not a murder. He probably just got drunk and got in a creek and died. Just 10 days later, they found George Hatton and Alan Huff 5 days after that. They found Randall Twocrow, Lauren Twobulls, Dirk Bartling, Arthur Chamberlain, and Timothy Bullbear during a period of 14 months. All of these men were dead in the creek. They ranged in age from 26 to 56. According to an article by the LA Times, none of the bodies showed signs of any trauma. Most of these men were unhoused, at least sometimes. Sometimes they, you know, couch surfed or whatever, but they slept near the creek at night. Most of these men were known to suffer from alcoholism, and their tox screens all revealed high blood alcohol levels. Alcohol poisoning was the official cause in two of the deaths, but the other men died of asphyxiation. They drowned. Two men, Alan Huff and Dirk Bartling, were white. Huff was not intoxicated at the time of his drowning, but he was undergoing psychiatric care and had recently expressed a desire to kill himself. But still, the typical way to, I don't want to say typical, but most people don't drink and drown themselves to death on purpose.
Well, no.
You know,
yeah.
It would be maybe meds or pills, but not drinking. Most people don't, I don't know. You don't hear of that often. For it to be on purpose, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I would think that if you drank so much that you would throw up.
Yeah. I think that's probably why a lot of people don't go that route. But when you look at each man individually, it doesn't really seem suspicious. But then when you start looking at all of the deaths and how they're so similar and it's such a short period of time, it kind of starts looking suspicious. Because it's like, why did it start happening in 98? Then why did it stop after 14 months? And that's basically when the Native patrols started. Police Captain Christopher Grant agreed that these deaths went beyond mere coincidence. The Native Americans also mostly agreed that something was amiss. Rumors began swirling that maybe it was a man or men that disliked the natives. They waited until dark. They drank themselves to sleep. Then they either dragged or rolled them into the creek. That's just what people kind of thought. And investigators waited up 10 miles of the waterway, interviewing more than 100 people, exploring campsites and garbage dumps and piles of rotting sleeping bags. I know. They brought in the FBI, the State Department of Criminal Investigators, the Mid-States Organized Crime Information Center out of Springfield, Missouri, and FBI behaviorists were summoned to see if a serial killer may be at work.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's why I was like, were they all killed the same way? Was this like a serial killer that...
Yeah, I mean, they were all found in the creek. But out of all these people they brought in, nothing came of it. The Information Center created elaborate charts detailing the relationships between the men, who knew whom and how. But unfortunately, any men who were around the men who died in the suspected time frames don't remember any details because they were also drinking or passed out at the time. And some have hazy memories and they're not reliable. The investigators also noted that all of the bodies were found in the creek, not near it, beside it, but in it, which is kind of unusual. In June of 2009, Pennington County Sheriff Don Holloway said, every lead was investigated, but because so many deaths happened in a short time and they stopped, Holloway doesn't believe they were all accidental. Stacy Lowdog, a Lakota lady who helped organize patrols of volunteers along the creek to improve safety, said she believes the deaths were caused by foul play. She said most rumors in the Indian community at the time puts the blame on young white people who harassed the homeless along the creek. She said one of her cousins told her he escaped after some white men grabbed him and held his head underwater. There's always been suspicion that a group of white teenagers found that murdering homeless men would make for good sport. And a big reason is because this very thing happened in Farmington, New Mexico. And warning, this is kind of brutal, but in the 70s, several white teenage boys started murdering intoxicated Navajo men.
What?
By bashing in their heads with rocks. I know. The phrase, quote, Indian rolling, which was the assault or murder of Native Americans by non-natives, became a term in the spring of 1974 because it was happening so much. In this case, they were finally apprehended after killing several Navajo men, but they were all teenagers, so they were sentenced as teens, and all of them were out of juvenile jail after only serving a few years. So basically, they brutally murdered these men, got a slap on the wrist for it. But there's a book about this called The Broken Circle, A True Story, Murder and Magic in Indian Country.
I don't understand why they target Native Americans. Maybe I don't understand. I don't understand why anybody targets anybody, but
yeah.
Why you would pick them out.
I can only speculate, but if it's white men in the area, it's probably because there's a lot of racial divide, if I just had to guess, especially considering if it's on the reservation.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know much about this topic. Even if I researched it, I feel like I'd be talking out my ass and don't really have a place to.
And you don't want to misspeak or say something that you that's inappropriate that you don't even realize.
Yeah,
is.
Exactly. If you're listening and you either know about reservation life or have lived on one or do live on one, let us know because we have no idea.
That's interesting. I've never.
Yeah. Operation Lady Justice Task Force was set up in Rapid City in 2020 by the White House, and the question was posed to the U.S. Attorney's Office, are you going to include the names of the Indian men found murdered at Rapid Creek as part of your Lady Justice Task Force? So far, they have not received an answer. It's just kind of strange. 11 dead men in a creek in 14 months.
That's almost a person a month.
Yeah. And then it just stopped. 14 months, that's it. So, I don't know. we might never know about that. So your case sounds super secret and super weird. So I'm really interested in whatever you have cooking over there in your nose.
Let's take a break because I'm about to
either
blow your mind or
you've confused me thus far.
Make everyone turn our podcast off.
Oh my God.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
So I'm changing things up this week.
Okay.
I needed a break after
Your
case last week. To gather myself.
I actually was thinking that too, but I couldn't find anything.
So no crimes or murders.
Okay.
From me this episode. Instead, I'm going to talk about survival. But not any survival. Surviving an apocalypse.
Oh my gosh. Wait.
There are so many movies and series that focus on what might happen to people after the collapse of civilization. Not just zombie apocalypse, but have you seen Leave the World Behind?
No.
It's so good. It's on Netflix.
Is it good? I've heard mixed things. Some people say it's bad, so I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I like those type of shows. So
I might watch that.
It's good.
This week.
So basically, it's about the aftermath of a cyber attack on the U.S. World goes bananas. They have no way of communicating. Electric cars are driving themselves. With no one inside, airplanes are falling out of the sky. It's, I mean, just look what happened with our phones a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it impacted 911, emergency services. No one could post on social media. We were all going nuts. Mm-hmm. But all jokes aside, it really was difficult to not be able to communicate via cell phone because that's what we depend. Nobody has a home phone.
Yeah.
It's hard to not be in communication because we're all so used to it.
That's true.
And also, what about an asteroid apocalypse like Armageddon or Deep Impact, those movies, which are both great, by the way. But they scare me so bad because then you're stuck. Like, you can't just leave Earth. It's just going to hit and you're just fucked, basically. Yeah. So the question on most people's minds who like this type of genre are, would I survive if this ever happened? Do you not ever think that?
Yeah, but I feel like something like an apocalypse, how could anyone survive? You know what I mean?
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, there's ways?
There are ways.
That bunker in Arkansas?
So listen. So doomsday preppers.
Oh, man.
If you didn't know, are people who plan for a wide assortment of disasters, man-made and natural. They're part of a movement that began in the height of the Cold War in the 1950s, when the fear of nuclear attacks were all people could think about. Prepping has been defined as the management of stockpiled household items in anticipation of market disruption. But I think they need to update that definition. Preppers are people who prepare to survive without any assistance in the middle of a disaster. Preppers have many reasons for their concerns about the future, another global pandemic, terrorist attacks, natural disasters, cyber attacks, civil unrest, electromagnetic pulses or EMPs, a takedown of the power grid, political conflicts, and supply chain disruptions. The U.S. government reports more than 120 separate disasters that occurred in the United States from 2016 to 2022, with over 5,000 fatalities and over $1 trillion in damages. So, basically, it isn't if a catastrophe is going to happen, it's when.
Oh, God.
Gen Zs, or people born between 97 and 2012, is the age group most likely bracing for doomsday or disastrous events. 40% of them identify as a prepper.
Really?
Yes. And regionally.
What?
Yes. And regionally, the West and the South have the highest percentages of preppers in America.
Why does that not surprise?
Doesn't surprise. I mean, country boy can survive. Am I right?
Well, I mean, and it's probably because it's more rural than the North in general. I mean, not necessarily the Pacific Northwest and like Montana and all that, but
right,
the Northeast. You're not going to go far without seeing a house. I feel like
it's yeah.
Whereas
it's
here, very, yeah. you can go miles and miles and miles.
Right. So the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Report 50% increase from 2017 to 2020 of people capable of being completely self-sufficient for at least a month. Do you fall under this group, Lacey? Could you survive for 1 month if you could not leave your house?
Yes.
Even with your baby? You have diapers, you have baby food, formula.
Crap.
You forgot you had a kid?
I'm an underproducer, okay?
I don't want to call you out.
Damn, if I could produce more, then yes, but no, not. Man, what did cave women do if they were underproducers?
Somebody else would nurse them. Another woman in the tribe.
I don't know any of those people here, so I guess with a baby, no. But by without a baby, yes.
So the U.S. advises people to prepare to survive for at least 3 days without assistance from authorities in the case of emergency. I could do that.
How did that woman in The Quiet Things take care of that baby?
And it never, girl.
Anyway.
Yeah. Every time I've
seen
that.
I haven't seen the second one, so.
Same. So most preppers tend to live outside big cities, so they're country mice.
Mm-hmm.
But the number near urban areas is growing significantly, according to FEMA. There are different kinds of preppers. There's doomsday preppers, climate change preppers, wilderness survivalists, and homesteaders.
Yeah, yeah.
Each has their own preference and distinctions. For instance, some look at the doomsday clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is a real thing. Did you know about the doomsday clock?
Not the clock.
So the doomsday clock is a symbolic timepiece that shows how close the world is to ending. This is a real fucking thing.
Well, what's it say?
Midnight marks the theoretical point of annihilation.
Ew, I don't like the word annihilation.
So that's fucking terrifying. And one of the reasons I have an ulcer. The hands of the clock are moved closer to or further away from midnight based on the scientist's reading of existential threats at a particular time. This is a Chicago-based nonprofit organization called the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientist, and they update the time annually based on information regarding catastrophic risk to the planet and humanity. A board of scientists and other experts in nuclear technology and climate science discuss world events and determine where to place the hands of the clock each year.
Mm-hmm.
This clock was created in 1947 by a group of atomic scientists, including Albert Einstein, who had worked on the Manhattan Project to develop the world's first nuclear weapons during World War II. At 90 seconds to midnight, the doomsday clock is now the closest it has ever been to midnight. It's the first time the clock has moved since it was set at 100 seconds to midnight in 2020. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Its setting reflects a world in which Russia's invasion of the Ukraine has revised fears of nuclear war. The war was largely, but not exclusively, the reason for the hands moving forward. Over 75 years ago, the clock started ticking at 7 minutes to midnight. At 17 minutes to midnight, the clock was the furthest away from doomsday, and that was in 1991 when the Cold War had ended.
Have you watched Oppenheimer yet?
No, don't tell me.
Well, I mean, it's based on true stuff. Don't tell me. But
I mean, I know, but I haven't seen it. So a lot of people thought their prepper neighbors were weirdos, and they have started stockpiling their own supplies and are making their bug out plan, basically. This makes some people feel more in control and less anxious. Some just want to be the last man standing when the world goes to hell. According to the Pew Research Center, 40% of the U.S. adults believe humanity is living in the end of time.
Oh my God.
The World Health Organization says we should be bracing for another global pandemic within the next decade, one that could conceivably be way, way worse than COVID-19. So by now, if you're still listening, and you're like Lacey, you're wondering, what the hell does this have to do with this week's episode? Well, let me tell you.
Oh, I forgot that it was, we're in a state. Yeah.
Yes. South Dakota has pulled an impressive zombie score of 92. The city scored the highest because it has many hardware stores, water sources, grocery stores, or crop farms. Resources, defense, and demographics also play a huge part in this. So South Dakota is number one. New Jersey's number 50.
Wow.
Arkansas is number 14 between Vermont and Hawaii, which is weird. I would think Hawaii would be, you're cool, you're over there, you're good.
Yeah. Huh.
What most people do not know, including Lacey's face right now, is South Dakota is home of the largest survival community on Earth.
On Earth?
On Earth.
That we know of.
An ultimate safe space engineered to weather worst-case scenarios, including natural disasters, catastrophes, the cosmos, or severe acts of violence inflicted by man. It's located in the Black Hills. It's an 18-square-mile former military base utilized from 1942 to 1967. It was constructed by the Army Corps of Engineers to store military ammunition and weapons, and it has sat empty for more than a half a century. This is one of several survival shelters that Vivos, a global shelter network, has under various stages of development in places like Indiana, the Rocky Mountains, Germany, and South Korea. Vivos, which means be alive, live, reside, and survive. According to their website, terravivos.com, the central theme to all catastrophic and epic life-threatening events has typically always been to find shelter underground. Whatever the threat, our shelters are built and engineered to withstand or mitigate just about everything from a pole shift to super volcano eruptions, solar flares, earthquakes, tsunamis, pandemics, asteroid strikes, the anticipated effects of Planet X, Nibiru, and man-made threats including nuclear explosions, reactor meltdowns, biological or chemical disasters, terrorism, and widespread anarchy. Vivos is not just another shelter company, it is a network of community of like-minded people supporting each other for the best chance of surviving virtually any disaster. Our shelters are considered to be the strongest, most fortified, blast-proof shelters in the world. Once stocked with food, fuel, hygienic supplies, medication, and your survival gear, you can easily shelter without returning to the surface for a year or more. What the fuck?
I'm like, should I be more concerned?
Vivos Survival Community, Vivos X Point, is located south of Edgemont, South Dakota, in what is considered one of the safest areas of the continent. Its location, which is well inland from all large bodies of water, and it has an ideal altitude.
Do they not have tornadoes?
Well, you're underground. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The California-based survival company is now repurposing this massive complex, which is over 18 square miles, so about half the size of Manhattan. The off-the-grid area is surrounded by fences and is reached by a road or a nearby airport. It's 100 miles from the nearest known military nuclear target. They are separated from each other by an average of 400 feet in all directions. They measure 26.5 feet wide and are 60 to 80 feet long. The arch ceilings reach 13 feet, and the spaces can be sealed with concrete and steel blasted doors. The massive site has the potential to house around 5,000 people underground and shelter them from any catastrophic event that may occur. There are more than 530 underground bunkers in this area. Features include concrete and steel doors. It's sealed to prevent infiltration of air, gas, and water. They also offer simulated LED screens with changing panoramic views of an outdoor scene so you don't feel like you're underground. These bunkers need very little to no climate control. An air handling system captures and recycles the heat given off by the generator in the winter and forces warm air outside during the summer.
Where did the money come from?
They were already there and built.
Yeah.
Because the military used them and then they set vacant. So this company bought them and is repurposing them.
Mm-hmm.
So even though your bunker is off the grid, it is accessible by car. There are over 100 miles of private road on site that are available only to members. The Vivo security team can spot anyone approaching the property from 3 miles away because there's only one road in and one road out. You have access to an on-site general store, gym, hot tub,
just one
spa, restaurant, bar, chapel, and medical clinic.
Okay. I mean, what else do you need?
The bunker can The bunker can be locked down and self-sustained for up to a year. And right now, no one is permitted to live in the bunkers until a catastrophic event happens due to government regulations preventing the use of windowless bunkers as a permanent residential dwelling. So Vivo's X Point holds up to if you buy one of these, it holds up to 24 people and it's $45,000 per bunker with no per person charge. You hold a 99-year lease and it's $1,000 a year, which is cheaper than some HOAs. It costs you around $75,000 to finish it out on top of what you bought it for. So a little over $100,000 to have this for life.
Yeah. But I guess it's one of those things you might never be able to go in it.
That's true.
Even stay one night in it.
That's true.
But if you need it, you got it.
And then you could pass it on to your kids.
Yeah.
They would have it. So logistics is really the only thing that's keeping me from slapping my credit card on the table now.
It's a little far.
If there was a catastrophic event, how would you get from Arkansas to South Dakota? It's over 800 miles. That's 13 hours one way by car. And with the way they're warning us about the eclipse, you know, telling us you may not be able to drive to work. The traffic's going to be backed up. The roads would be complete gridlock during
an apocalyptic
event, for sure.
Yeah.
Plus, if it really was the end of time, there would be like road bandits out, like Mad Max, probably. Vigilantes, not the good kind.
Oh, there'd be looters ASAP.
Right. I mean, it's every man for themselves because in the event of something like this, the tribal behavior comes out in people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're desperately trying to survive any means necessary. So the lucky ones at Vivo's X Point have a plane full of gas waiting to get them to their bunkers at a moment's notice. Out of all the bunkers on site, about 200 have sold and sales are picking up. Vivos also promises 24/7 security with military-trained guards and camera systems. The company also offers shelter at a facility in Indiana and is developing similar communities at an abandoned fortress in Europe. So, how do you get on Cribs of the Apocalypse, you want to know? First things first, you have to become a member.
Yeah.
Which it's free.
You can do that.
To be considered for membership in a Vivos shelter, first you have to fill out their application form and provide them with basic information on who you are, your contact information, the size of your group, your combined skill set or expertise, and insight regarding why you are seeking a real survival shelter solution. Vivos then selects the best candidate for each Vivos shelter from their current pool of active members. They look at those individuals who may be best contributing with their skill and expertise to each shelter community.
Man, that's serious.
Therefore, you're providing the greatest chance of long-term survival for the entire group.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will be contacted by email and requested to schedule a time that you can speak on the phone with them. As member candidates are approved, they are provided an invitation to secure a place in a Vivos shelter. So, of course, I went to the website and to the application page because I got to be honest, I had to see what was going on, and I have none skills. None that they're looking for. Bartending isn't a skill, but being a lawyer is. It's the end of the world. It's really too late for legal jargon. We should have a stiff
drink. So it lists everything.
Yes. It lists all the things that are ideal in a candidate that they're looking for to move in to contribute to this community. I'm trying to make stiff drinks for people. Let's get drunk and do weird stuff. It's the end of the world. Let's do weird things.
Well, they have a bar there, right? You could run that.
Well, it's not on the list.
Hmm.
If that girl from high school that
tried to sell me. Do they have a dog shelter?
They do.
Oh,
there you go. I'm like, if these girls that try to sell me Plexa Slim, this pyramid scheme get in to Vivos and I don't, I swear to God. So, I mean, if it's the end of the world, you have to then pick people that you would take with you.
Man, now I'm curious.
You have to take people with you if you wanted to, because you're just, it's not per person. Well, so if you've bought this and you can have this many people in.
Can they have any type of, can they be whatever? Do
they
have
to have skills too?
Oh my gosh.
They have to have skills too. And then who are you going to want to bunk up with for you don't know how long? Which is just as scary as the apocalypse, being stuck with somebody underground for a year that you might not like. Max would want to have all of his friends. Like, we can't go through a weekend without him wanting to have someone spend the night. I would have to bring my number one person on my list. It's the apocalypse. Get in this bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Let me love you. Let me save your life. Don't fight. Shh, don't fight it.
You'd have to have – I don't even know. I don't – No, that
So word leaked recently about Mark Zuckerberg's 1,400-acre secret self-sufficient compound on the island of Kauai that allegedly cost more than $270 million. According to plans, the compound will have 6-foot walls surrounding it and more than a dozen buildings, including 2 mansions that will be connected by an underground tunnel. John Kohler and Associates of Tallahassee, Florida, they are a real estate company who trademarked Social Storm Properties for such events like these. They say, and I quote, they never say, he's talking about people that seek him out, they never say what they're looking for necessarily, like a bug out shelter to escape in case of difficult times, but there are a lot of very smart, educated, and powerful people that are all of a sudden looking for land for some reason.
Eek.
So like I mentioned earlier, Vivos has bunkers in Indiana. So these hold 80 people at $35,000 per person, and it's like a community. you all live together. There are common areas, which sounds like this would end very badly.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to think that they're the boss of this group, and it's going to turn into a pissing contest. And it sounds kind of culty, to be honest.
It does. Kind
of. Vivos Europa 1 is in the heart of Europe. It holds 800 people. And if you go to their website, I quote you and it says, "Ultimate life assurance solution for high net worth families." Not for peasants like me.
High net worth.
Clearly. It sounds like the movie 2012 when they're all trying to get on the ark. Did you ever see that?
No.
Well, they have their own rail line. Yes, they do. They have the blast proof doors like the other ones. Let's see. These are multi-tier separate living quarters, and there are 34 of them. It's located on 76 acres above and below ground with 3 miles of continuous tunnels underground. It's basically like a modern day Noah's Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And they're completely customizable. Like you can get an in-ground pool inside your area that you buy.
Wow.
So when this happens, like the apocalypse, you fly in or drive. Their helicopter will pick you up at a rendezvous point and fly you back to the compound, which is secured away from the general public, behind a sealed and guarded wall with gates and a blast door. How much do you think this costs?
How many millions? I don't even...
$2.1 million for a private shell. You have to then finish it out.
Okay.
You have to pay for everything on the inside. This is just the room.
Yeah.
Or multi-room. Like, you can get, like, two stories that hold... You're going to have to look all this up. Yeah. Your mind's going to be blown. So, for a semi-private suite, which holds up to 4 people, it's $38,000. But then you have to finish it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you ready for the big dog?
Yeah.
This is Vivos Trine Complex. It holds 150 to 500 people or more. It is a private shelter system. It is called the mothership of all bunkers. They can build it anywhere. They could put it in your backyard. You have your own security force, pool, garden, private residences. There's a surgery and medical room. There's a bar, school, gym.
What?
Look this up. I can't even explain it. If they have a 5-star staff that lives with you, chef, waiter, assistant, doctor, exercise, health experts, teachers, housekeepers, gardeners. I mean, they come in like Delta Force and rescue you. They offer door-to-door extraction. Apocalypse happens. They kick your fucking door in, take you, Sam, Anders, whoever else, load you into a car, take you to the airport, helicopter you wherever it is. They also...
Rich people are ridiculous.
This isn't even rich. This is fucking stupid rich. Yeah. They also have a DNA vault where DNA of millions of people are stored for potential restoration of the human race.
What?
Yes. It's basically an ark for all of humanity. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
So how do they restore it? Your DNA? I mean, like, who's given this DNA?
Is it like sperm? I looked, in cups?
I looked up all these on their website individually for like prices and how you get in on. There was no price on this. So that's like.
You have to call and meet up with them.
Yeah. This is like, no. If there's no price on it, it's like a restaurant. If there's no price, don't order it.
It's not my type of restaurant.
Don't order it.
Mm-mm.
So all of this just sounds like a bad idea. I got to be honest. I mean, I just want the Lord to take me.
Yeah, I think I'll just take my chances, to be honest. It doesn't sound... it's too expensive, first of all.
I want you to look this up right now.
Well, I've already looked up the application.
Did you look up the website and see the buildings and shit?
No.
In...
The Vivos website?
Yes.
I'm on it, but it has just this little family in a sunset. With the dog.
No, you got to click the little tabs on the side.
Life assurance? That's an asteroid. Terrorism? Oh, my God. These pictures. Oh.
What's it?
Illuminati depopulation?
It's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
It is insane.
We've got some listeners really spiraling right now.
Look at this. These are like the little pods. You got to go to images.
Images. Okay.
Look at that. That's what it looks like underground.
Oh.
Those are the little rooms.
My God.
Look at that.
This is creepy. And then it's like there's a tab for prophecies.
It's a little culty.
Yeah.
I told you. It's a little fucking culty. Told you. Insane. In South Dakota. That's the one that's completed now. And they're selling it.
Ugh.
I mean, oh God, I wish I was rich and not beautiful and not fit.
Same. Yeah.
Crazy. Wow.
That's crazy.
Well,
it would be easy. Well, I was going to say it'd be easier to just do your own little tornado hidey hole yourself.
Girl. But you can't live down there.
Yeah.
There's no bathroom. There's no medical stuff. There's
not long term. No. It would have to be.
I mean, I could live down there probably 3 days.
Have you seen the movie Take Shelter with Michael Shannon?
Yes.
So freaking good. If you haven't seen that, watch it.
I love
him
so much.
Oh my gosh. That's a good one. It's kind of it's natural disaster / kind of he thinks something's coming and it's. You're like, is he crazy or is he not?
But right.
I want to rewatch that. Man, he's a good actor. And that movie Bug or whatever he's in.
Yes.
He's good at seeming crazy is all I'm going to say.
Oh, Lord. Well, that's all I got.
Wow.
Other than, where's Kate Middleton? Have you been following this?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I have been. I don't know all the details, but I've been loosely following it through TikTok and stuff. And I don't know.
I mean, she was last seen in December. She had surgery in January. It's March now. No one's seen her.
How often do people see her?
I mean, she was always in the media. Like, they always post up. And the royals aren't good at keeping secrets.
I will say this. I watched a TikTok 3 days after she gave birth. 3 days. She came out and did a press conference in foreign heels.
This is what I'm saying. So for you to not be seen since December and then you had an abdominal surgery and now you're just MIA and no one has seen you. I mean, they told us about King Charles's enlarged prostate. Why are you being so hush-hush about this? And of course, conspiracy theories and rumors are going crazy. That Mother's Day photo that was posted that I was digitally manipulated.
They're acting like she did it.
She's
doing graphic design in her spare time editing her own photos.
So allegedly she made a press release that said she was messing with editing and that's why it looked like that.
Give me a break. She didn't download Adobe Creative Suite.
No, she did not. She did not Facetune her pictures. What?
It's hilarious.
You have photographers.
It's hilarious.
No one has an iPhone 7 taking a picture of her. Are you shitting me?
It just cracks me up. And that's the picture she's editing for funsies.
And then posting the wrong one?
Give me a break. No. That's not what happened.
No.
100%.
Some people, and I think the one that I most likely believe in the conspiracy theory world is that she had the abdominal surgery, whatever it was. And she likely has like a colostomy bag. And so she's kind of staying like laying low. And I'm like, that's feasible. That's feasible. Do I think she's dead? No. Do I think that, you know, maybe she had a hysterectomy and she's, you know, but she had a, like you said, she had a whole baby.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Multiple times. Like she never delayed. Like wearing a nice dress, heels, walking down steps.
Right.
I couldn't even.
Girl.
Walk.
Fresh face, makeup.
Weeks after my.
No. Fresh face, makeup, all the things.
She looked great. I saw a video of it.
So one Spanish news anchor said she's in a coma. And people were like, no, she's not. So I don't know. There was a blurry picture that was released a couple days ago of her and William, supposedly. But you can't see her face, so it could be anybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We need proof of life. Kate, if you're listening, we need you to hold up a newspaper from today with today's date and send that picture to UnitedStatesOfMurder@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, my theory – well, it's not my theory. I don't know that this is what's going on. But one thing, I'm like, that could be it. is there's been rumors since 2019 that old William has a mistress.
Girl, they all cheat.
And he probably does.
Probably.
Like father, like son. Probably. But I've heard, and I can't remember the girl's name. I've seen pictures of her, whatever, that Kate's like, you going to keep seeing this girl? Okay, I'm going to step out of the media and you can see what it's like for me to not be in your life. She doesn't, I'm not saying she said it like that. But like, maybe she stepped out of the spotlight and she's having a quarrel with him or something
maybe
because of this mistress or
enough.
Something. And she's, yeah, maybe she's had enough and she's taken a step back and he's probably, I mean, no one wants that because it's making them look weird.
Well, here's the thing. There's been no statements, which is not like the monarchy. Like they tell all their business.
Yeah.
Always. We don't need to know about King Charles' prostate. We need to know if Kate's still alive. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Harry and Meghan were smart and getting.
Yeah.
There's some shady
stuff. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but. Whatever.
I don't know her.
I wouldn't know where to talk to her. Trader Joe's.
I've never seen her in anything. So
she was on Suits.
I didn't watch Suits.
Oh. And she was on Deal or No Deal. She was one of the girls that held open the
thing.
I didn't
watch that.
Well, I got nothing.
You're like, I really didn't like how she opened the suitcase.
She always had the cheapest amount of money.
I've never been a big Prince William fan for some reason. I don't know why.
He was so hot in high school. And then
he grew up.
And then my little brother grew up. And I was like, come on, Ginger.
Yeah. He's cute.
He's really cute.
Especially for a ginger. No offense.
I'm telling you, it's 0 or 100 with gingers. They're either smoking hot or they're like, oh,
he's
fuck.
He's a good looking redhead. That's for
he is
sure.
He's a good looking one. I watched Wonka.
Oh, was it good?
It is so good. Max and I loved it. It's a little musical, which I thought Max wouldn't enjoy, but we both loved it. I mean, I would watch it again tonight. So good.
Huh.
Very good. Did you watch anything?
I watched the Oscars.
I did not.
And I didn't watch any of those movies. Well, yeah, I did. I watched Barbie and Oppenheimer.
But Poor Things.
Do you know what the plot of Poor Things is?
Yes, and I tried to watch it, and I was like, nope.
I have been seeing clips on TikTok, and I'm so disturbed by the whole thing. I don't even want to watch it.
Is it that bad?
Well, just like the what it's about. She has a baby's brain.
Oh. I just started watching it and I was like, I mean,
looked up the plot and I'm like, oh my God, this is gross. But yeah, I won't give anything away. But I'm like, I'm not going to watch that. Nope, didn't really watch anything.
Also, have you seen this Boeing guy?
Yes, I just saw that. He mysteriously died?
Oh, no. He allegedly shot himself in his car in the parking lot of his hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read anything about it?
No, but I don't believe it.
He was a whistleblower.
Yeah.
62-year-old John Barnett. He was found dead from an alleged self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was a 30-year employee for Boeing. He retired in 2017. He was a quality manager in North Charleston, where they make 787s. He told BBC in 2019 that basically their shit wasn't right. That breathing masks,
right.
1 in 4 weren't working. They were using substandard parts on production. And he was removed, you know, like pieces were sometimes removed from scrap bins and put on airplanes to prevent the delay of production. He told his manager nothing was done. He retired, then took legal action against Boeing.
Mm.
He was in Charleston for a legal interview and gave a formal deposition last week to Boeing's attorneys. He was supposed to go in last Saturday, but was a no-show. And when they went to the hotel, they found him dead in the parking lot from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Nope.
The FAA last week completed the end of a 6-week audit where they found multiple instances where parts had failed during quality control and were still put on airplanes.
God.
So that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, someone, that's an inside job.
We need to.
There's no way.
No, no. We need to do a Patreon on about whistleblowers.
That's a good one. That's what we should do for April.
I'm going to make a note.
Where are we next week? I can't remember.
Oh, shit.
No.
Yeah. Next week, we are in Indiana.
Oh, you just talked about that.
Yeah.
Their little.
I won't do it.
Bunkers. You're like, I'm Bunkers Part 2.
Bunkers Part 2. Oh, apocalypse. Man. Eclipse. What'd you call it earlier?
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse Bunkers.
If you liked the second part of this episode, you'll love Patreon. Oh, so God. head to patreon.com/United States of Murder. We're covering space this month.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's going to be crazy.
I'm spiraling.
So am I. I have so many weird tabs open.
I can't wait. I'm super excited.
But all right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.